This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. This week, the Chicago Tribune launched a new series of stories called Culture of Corruption.
We interrupt programming to bring you a special report. Sources telling CBS to former Illinois House Speaker Mike Madigan, indicted.
A wave, a short walk, and Rod Blagojevich was gone inside FCI Inglewood.
I gotta get moving. The whole world's passing me by, and I'm stuck in this job as governor now.
3 years probation.
3.5 years in prison.
2 years in prison and a $2 million fine for tax evasion.
For stealing nearly $700,000 in campaign funds.
A lighter than expected sentence for the man who was once the most powerful elected official in Chicago.
Prison hasn't changed George Ryan.
You've not really come to grips with the fact that you were found guilty.
Yeah, sure. I've come to grips with the fact that I was convicted and sent there, but that doesn't mean it was right.
Let me read from the introduction. What makes Illinois so corrupt? In the coming weeks and months, the Tribune will explore and attempt to explain why corruption continues to poison virtually every level of government in our state, draining off tax dollars and robbing public service of its meaning. These stories so far were reported and written by a team at the Tribune that included friend of the show Rick Pearson, Corey Rumer, John Chase, Rick Kogan, and my next guest, Ray Long. Ray was a longtime State House reporter for the Tribune. Now he mainly does investigative work. He's also the author of a book about longtime former House Speaker Michael Madigan. That's called The House That Madigan Built, The Record Run of Illinois' Velvet Hammer. Ray Long, how's it going, friend? Thanks for making the time.
Always good to be on your show, Brian. Thank you very much.
No calls during this segment because Ray and I taped this on Thursday afternoon, but let us know what you think by emailing talk@21stshow.org. All right, Ray, let's just cut right to the bottom line. Why is Illinois so corrupt? What did you solve?
Well, there's there's a multiplicity of reasons that we're writing about, Brian, and we're probably going to find more as we keep going, but one of the things that struck us is that Illinois doesn't have a culture that automatically brings in people who are altruistic about the job. They're in this kind of where's mine type of attitude culture, and they're individualistic, and they are trying to get ahead by using their job as a way to help themselves. And in some cases, literally help themselves, but into cases where people have, you know, broken the law or just tried to raise their status so that whatever they do on the side, they may be able to generate a little more business. We've also got cases where Illinois' laws are so loose. Example in campaign financing, which we'll be writing about this weekend, that you'll see that, you know, you can drive a truck through some of these things. There's a lot of leeway, that's automatically built in by the lawmakers who want to make sure that they've got a lot of room to maneuver when they put together these laws that they will be governed by. We see that for lobbyists. We see that for a variety of different areas in government. And we also have more government than any other state in the country. And it's not by like one or two or three, it's by thousands. So we'll be going through these various issues and checking them out one by one here in the coming weeks and months.
Yeah, and there's so many directions we could go, but since our time is limited, let's start with just the span of corruption you document. It's federal office holders. It's City of Chicago office holders. It's state legislators. It's local government officials. And throughout the state, this is Chicago, it's northern Illinois, the suburbs, central Illinois, southern Illinois. No part of Illinois really has a monopoly on this stuff.
Right, right. You hear a lot about the ones in Chicago because there's a lot more people in Chicago and there's a lot more opportunity. There's a lot more government up there around Chicago, too. But, you know, the city council in Chicago is really a poster child for a lot of the government corruption because they've had nearly 40 people go to prison in the last 50 years. And they go for things like bribery, taking the money to take some kind of official action. We even saw the dean of the city council, Ed Burke. He got convicted a few days before Christmas last year, and he gets sentenced to a couple of years in prison, and he's going to be heading there shortly. So there is also the historic nature where we've had guys like from over in Granite City area, Orville Hodge, who was auditor. And back in the 50s, Brian, in the 50s, he swindled or took or looted or squandered up to $2.5 million in the 50s. And so he went to prison for 6.5 years. He did have to pay back most of that, but a lot of that also just could not be tracked down or restored to the state. So I think he ended up giving back about $1.5 million. But then we also have the guy with the shoebox. You know, the big story from Southern Illinois is Paul Powell. He was a House Speaker both when Republicans had control and when Democrats had control. He was a Democrat, but he could reach across the aisle and make deals. And so he ended up being a speaker when both parties were in control. And then he became Secretary of State. And then he died on a trip to Minnesota with his secretary. And people started excavating his hotel room at the St. Nicholas Hotel in Springfield, they found all kinds of wads of cash, including in one famous stuffed cashed shoebox. And that was Paul Powell, of course.
Amazing, some of these stories. And there's almost, when people talk about this, there can almost be a perverse pride. I don't know. Pride's not probably the right word about it, but how do you reckon with that? How do you hold on to the anger? Because I really liked the way, as I read from that introduction, right? Robbing public service of its meaning, draining off tax dollars. How do you think about that and how the people of Illinois continue to reelect these people who do this stuff?
Yeah, I think there is some kind of perverse pride, actually, that we are these kind of rogues who do whatever they want and cut deals and all that kind of stuff. But I have to believe that after a while, people are going to start to get tired of it. And after a few decades, it becomes kind of, maybe boorish is not the right word, but it's one of those issues that does mount up in tax dollars and favors upon favors and upon favors upon favors, eventually make a difference because people who know somebody, it's a know somebody kind of culture, you know. Not only are public officials trying to get their own hand in the cookie jar in some cases, in the worst cases, but also they're ones who are doling out favors for people who participate in campaigns, supporting them, and buddies and cronies, et cetera. So we're trying to, first off, start and explain that this goes way back. It's not just a new phenomenon. It goes back into the 1800s. Even some of the first settlers in Chicago were land swindlers, and we've even got cases where some of the first scandals of public officials go back into the 1800s. Even, Brian, you know, we all vote for the U.S. senator now from our state, two from each state. And what happens is there was a change that Illinois was involved in or played a role in. And the way it used to be done is that the state legislatures would choose the senators who would go to Washington. Well, in the early 1900s, there was a guy named Senator Lorimer who was chosen by the state legislature. But they found out and discovered through investigations that there was a lot of bribery going on to collect votes to put him into the U.S. Senate seat. And so he ended up getting tossed out of the office by the U.S. Senate, and now people are voting because of the 17th Amendment. People now vote directly on who goes to the U.S. Senate. He was a major factor in that decision to change the U.S. Constitution. So I guess you could say Illinois has a reform branch too there, Brian. Ignoble as it may be.
Yeah, yeah. All right. It's the 21st show. If you're just joining us, we are talking with Ray Long, investigative reporter at the Chicago Tribune, who is part of a team that is producing a new series. It just launched in the Sunday paper last weekend. It's called Culture of Corruption, and it looks at the roots of Illinois' corruption at every level of government, from federal office holders all the way down to city leaders who sometimes have embezzled millions and millions of dollars from their constituents. Ray, only about 5 minutes left. When I was reading your story that launched this series, I had in my head that line from the great Michael Kinsley, the journalist Michael Kinsley, who says, "The scandal is not what's illegal, the scandal is what's legal." And one of the people you do include on this list is the subject of your book, The House That Madigan Built, former House Speaker Michael Madigan, who for many years was thought to be very careful about what he did and how he conducted himself. And now the federal government says, no, in fact, what he was doing was illegal. He has pleaded not guilty to that. That case is ongoing. But talk about that idea that the real scandal in Illinois is not necessarily what's illegal. There's maybe an even greater scandal in what's legal here.
Well, you know, I think it's real interesting. In Madigan's case in federal court right now, he has argued that some of the counts against him should be dismissed because they're predicated on some Illinois laws, bribery and official misconduct. He's arguing, even though he was head of the legislature, head of the House for 36 years, he's arguing that some of the state laws that are foundations for some of the federal charges that come about in his case, he's arguing these are vague and unconstitutional. So even the guy who had been over Illinois for so long is saying that these laws are not good enough to stand up in court. So we see things like that, and we see loopholes that allow people to break contribution limits and things like that that are so easily broken. And we just wonder, what is it about Illinois that they won't draw harder lines? One of the things also that is contributing into this whole new issue is the U.S. Supreme Court. Brian, I'm sure you've talked about this, that they basically made it tougher for federal prosecutors to snag politicians on the idea that some of the things that they that people give to politicians are just favors and gratuities, not bribes. And so they just recently ruled on that a few weeks ago. And so it's tougher and tougher to hold politicians accountable.
Just a minute or so left in our time together. Where are you going with the series? What can people look forward to in future installments?
Well, I think you want to keep your eye on the one coming out this weekend. It deals with the campaign finance law in Illinois and many of the holes that are in that, and the maneuvers that have just shown that the laws are not drawn tight enough. And so I think that people will have a few more eye-opening reads, and there'll be more about, like I said, small government. We're going to take another look at the city and keep going from there.
I hope you can dig into the mosquito abatement districts, my favorite local unit of government. Why do we have entire taxing bodies for mosquito abatement? I look forward to that. Ray Long, congratulations on the series, and hold on to your anger. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Brian. It's great to be here.
Our show continues in a moment, but we give the last word in this segment to the great Chicago folk singer Steve Goodman, singing here about Paul Powell of the Shoeboxes Full of Cash. This song was recorded April 1st, 1973, 2.5 years after Powell died.